things. A couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Thanksgiving and a happy Black Friday to you. Glad to have you along today. Chris Goforth with you here for the next couple of hours. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday. Garrett Chapman making things happen this morning. Garrett, happy Thanksgiving to you, and glad we get a chance to hang out for a little while today.
Absolutely, man. It feels like it's been a while. Been a while since it's just been the two of us.
It's been Labor Day.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been.
College football season.
We start the season together on the opening weekend, and we're going to close it out here heading into the final weekend of the college football regular season.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
No, sir. Not a bit. Are you a Black Friday shopper?
I'm not a shopper in general.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, it's like that's – if I need something, I'll go get it. And then after that, it's like, okay. I'm not going to go shopping just to shop.
So you've never been in the Black Friday shopping fray today, right?
No, I wouldn't say so. It's more of like a Black Friday week now, wouldn't you say?
Oh my God! Yeah. So my daughter, who is 17, got up this morning, left the house at 5:45 with two of her girlfriends, and the three of them, they were going out. I talked to her about 2 hours ago, and she was in line at Target. So
okay,
I did it one time. 12 years ago, I needed a new laptop, or I needed a laptop. Before that, I just had a PC. I said, my PC's past the point of no return. I'm going to get a laptop. There was one of the big box electronic stores had one on sale. So I called my buddy. I said, what are you doing in the morning? And I said, how about I pick you up at, you know, let me pick you up at 5 o'clock and we'll go have breakfast at the Waffle House and then we'll go get in line. And that's what we did. And I ended up with a laptop and a new pair of Nikes.
You know, I respect that.
So that was, I didn't go shopping for anybody else at that time. I just said, I need a laptop. I'm not going to find a better, I didn't think I would find a better deal than that. So I said, yep, I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And I ended up, we ended up someplace else and I bought a pair of Nikes. I'll admit, I've been kind of oblivious to it this year. So I'm not sure what's going on or what's out there. If you are out and about today, if you're out there in this stuff, drive safe, look out for one another. And as I always like to say, remember to shop our small local businesses. I guess Saturday, tomorrow is going to be Small Business Saturday, but I'm always going to encourage you to spend your money with our small local business owners. My wife is among those. She owns a small business, and so that's one of those things I'm very passionate about is trying to support small business. So get out there and enjoy your Friday. Also, a little shout out to everybody that's got to work today, our first responders. Those of you working in retail today, appreciate what you're doing and appreciate you guys hanging with us today if you're able to for a little while here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, because we got a lot of stuff to get to today. It is a busy, busy time. We'll talk Jess Charman, who is a part of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore. She is going to join us in about 30 or so minutes from right now. We'll talk a little World Cup with Jess. Just over an hour from now, we're going to talk some college football with our longtime friend Bill Bender, covers college football with the Sporting News. Of course, you know we're going to talk some NFL stuff later on. We'll preview the Falcons and the Commanders. That's coming up Sunday in a game you can hear right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can join Harper LaBelle and myself for the pregame festivities that get underway. Actually, we started earlier than that with John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas on the Wade Ford tailgate show. They get it going at 9 o'clock in the morning. Harper and I get the network stuff started at 11. And then, of course, West Durham, Dave Archer, the guys will have the call kickoff at 1 o'clock from D.C. We'll talk a lot about the Falcons today and that game in particular. But I wanted to get started here with a little bit of college football. And, again, another shameless plug. You can join myself, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, tomorrow morning, college football game time. We go from 8 a.m. till 11:30. We got a couple of games today, Baylor, Texas, North Carolina, NC State, Florida, Florida State coming up later today. You had the Egg Bowl yesterday, Mississippi State beats Ole Miss. Garrett, it seems like every year that game always comes down to one score. It's one of those games where you better stick around until the end because something is always going to happen, including the throwing of chairs, which happened last night.
Yeah, I was watching last night, and it was like so Ole Miss, they turned the ball over in a weird situation, and then I was like, maybe we can go to bed. And then, like, Andy, the girlfriend, was saying, well, yeah, let's just go to bed. It's fine. And I'm like, no, it's the Egg Bowl. Something crazy is about to happen. And then, obviously, we see what happens. Rodgers fumbles the ball on the one-yard line after looked like a touchdown to me.
And then Ole Miss put together a 99-yard drive.
They put the ball in the end zone, and then they don't give the ball to Quinshon Judkins. And I tweeted about that. That just bothers the heck out of me. Yeah, he's the best player in the field, and you're not giving him the football on the 2-yard line.
And that was that 2-point conversion attempt ended up being the difference in the game. Ole Miss put together, like Garrett was saying, they put together a 99-yard drive, ended in a touchdown, pulled to within two, and they line up to go for two and don't make it. Mississippi State defensively, I thought they were better last night than I thought they would be against this Ole Miss offense. They held Ole Miss to a season low in total yards, kept them under 100 yards rushing. And Ole Miss is a team now, they've limped down the stretch here. At one time, this team was as high as number 7 in the country. And now they finish losing 4 out of their last 5.
Hey, Chris, are we ready to talk about how the best team that they've played this year and won might, in fact, be Troy?
Well,
have you seen that?
Yeah.
So no, it's like Troy is a 9-2 football team. Don't hate the Sun Belt. Don't hate the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt's
no, not
pretty,
at all.
It's probably the best group of 5 conference,
right.
Not the American. But I mean, Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech, 5-6. Tulsa's 4-7. Kentucky's 6-5. Vandy's 5-6.
Oh, there was
six.
Some.
Texas
there was A&M a little bit of fool's
7.
Gold. There was a little bit of fool's gold.
Finished the season
in that 7-0 start. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They had 700 yards of offense against Arkansas, and they still lost by, 15 points?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. I've never seen something that crazy before in my life. 700 yards of total offense, and you still lose.
And lose.
It's incredible.
Now, according to Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss's head coach, he's going to stay in Oxford. And I don't doubt that he is Auburn's first choice. I think a lot of times, and we've talked about this some on College Football Game Time on Saturdays, but a lot of times in these situations when you hear, somebody being rumored for a job, I think a lot of that comes from somebody's agent putting that out there that, you know, he's trying to get his guy a raise or whatever. But the Kiffin to Auburn thing, that had something behind it. I don't doubt that he's the top choice for Auburn. He says he's going to stay. Of course, there was a report, the same guy that broke the story about Cohen, the new AD at Auburn, leaving Mississippi State, same television reporter in the state of Mississippi that reported that move of Cohen leaving Mississippi State, going to Auburn as athletic director, was also the same guy that reported this earlier this week, that Lane Kiffin would be stepping down today, this weekend, whatever, but that he was going to be leaving for Auburn. I don't think there's any doubt that Lane Kiffin is the number one choice, but Kiffin said yesterday he had a meeting with his guys and he plans, you know, he's told them he plans to be at Auburn. Blake Toppenmeyer, who is the SEC columnist, I believe he writes for USA Today. Blake Toppenmeyer asked the question and said, will you be the Ole Miss coach next year? And Lane Kiffin said, I intend to, or something to that degree. If that's the case, where would Auburn go to next? Because it feels like they've put a lot of eggs in that Lane Kiffin basket. We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about the Georgia Tech job because they're still looking for their guy to take over that program. We're going to hop into the headlines next, though. Hawks, Rockets coming up tonight at 8. Falcons, Commanders Sunday at 1. A lot of stuff to get. World Cup soccer going on. The USA in England today. Man, have we got a lot of stuff to get to. Big day of football yesterday. Hang on. Sit tight. Chris Goforth in for Andy and Randy on this Black Friday. Glad to be hanging with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and always on the free Odyssey app.
Still in November, and you know, guys, percentages I expect to go up, and it was good tonight to see guys take and make shots tonight.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Atlanta Hawks head coach Nate McMillan after the Hawks win over the Kings earlier this week. Hawks back in action tonight as we take a look at your headlines today. They are, as you just heard Caleb tell you, they are in Houston to take on the Rockets. Houston has dropped 5 of their last 6. They've only won once at home this year. They are bad. Now, I will say this about Houston, and maybe this happens more than I realize it, but they have not played since Sunday, which is odd. I feel like, and again, maybe this is something you see in the NBA schedule more than what I realize. It just doesn't seem like, especially this time of the year, that you end up with this many days off between games. But such it is for the Kings. Hawks have been on this win one, lose one streak. That's gone on long enough now. It's time for them to put together a string of wins. Hawks haven't won back-to-back games since the first of the month. It was November 5th and the 7th last time they won consecutive games. That really needs to change against a Houston squad that clearly they are totally in rebuild. As you heard Nate McMillan say, coming back in from to kick off this segment, it's a little too early to get too worked up over the way the Hawks look right now. That offense, though, I will say this, I thought it'd have a little more punch to it at this point. And they're 11th in the NBA in scoring. I thought it would be top 10. Thought it would be 7-ish. Thought they would be firmly in the top 10 as a scoring team. Maybe that happens eventually. I will say this. Now, the Hawks are rebounding well, 5th in the NBA in rebounds per game, and they're taking care of the basketball. 2nd fewest turnovers per game in the NBA despite, what they have, like 7 in the fourth quarter the other night against Sacramento. So, but anyway, overall, the Hawks have, look, they just need, it's time, right? It's time to put it together and put a little streak together here, win a couple of consecutive games. That'd be good. They got a shot for that if as long as they can take care of business tonight in a game that you can hear. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the legendary Steve Holman coming up on the call tonight. Falcons, Commanders, that's happening Sunday, 1 o'clock for the kick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Washington coming in 6-5. They've won 5 of the last 6. Taylor Heinicke has taken over at quarterback. I think he's played really well. The defense, though, is what you have to watch out for. Last 6 games, they forced 12 turnovers. They've committed only 5. That plus 7, that's the best in the NFL over the last 6 games. This is going to come down, and I hate to be like, what's the word here? I hate to make it so that it is just to break it down to one of those cliched football things, but honestly, this game is going to come down to the Falcons' offensive line against Washington's defensive line. Even without Chase Young, who we'll get to in just a second, Washington up front, they've been pretty good this year. 29 sacks. Those defensive tackles, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, those guys are a problem. And now there's a chance Chase Young is going to be back on the field for the first time on Sunday. Let's hear from Falcons head coach Arthur Smith on facing that Commander defensive line.
But when you talk about Payne and Allen, I mean, they're hard to block. They play the run really well. They're powerful. They got good counter moves as they assault the pocket. Different ways they rush. You can see why both those guys were first round, you know, heavy investments for Washington. And you got Sweat playing out there, and they got a lot of bodies they throw at you. Guys that are playing well. See what it looks like if Young comes back out there. So,
yeah, you wonder. I just can't imagine, and I know there's been some stuff written this week in Washington, in, you know, about, well, what happens when Chase Young comes back? You don't want to disrupt kind of the continuity that this group has built. I don't see how bringing back Chase Young is anything other than a positive for Washington. Let's hear from Commanders head coach Ron Rivera on getting Chase Young back.
Chase looked good. He did. He had a good day. Showed us some things that we've been looking for, and we'll continue to monitor his progress, and we'll see how he does on Friday.
Yeah, what they're talking about with Chase Young is like 12 to 16 snaps per game to start with, and then maybe by the end of the year they're able to work him up to like 35, 40 snaps a game. But, you know, they're talking about 12 to 16 possibly Sunday against the Falcons. I think the question I have is how will Washington choose to use him on those 12 to 16? If that's all he plays is 12 to 16 snaps, how do they use him? Will he be a third down guy you bring in to get after? Will you bring him in on obvious passing situations? How do they choose to use him? I think that's the big question that, you know, we're not going to find out the answer to until Sunday. World Cup going on. United States, England today at 1. More on the World Cup. Jess Charman, she will join us at 10:40. She's part of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore. And again, she is going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so from right now. Yesterday, big day in the NFL, as it always is on Thanksgiving. Really cool, by the way, to see the NFL kind of attach John Madden to these Thanksgiving Day games. He was such a, you know, look, Thanksgiving, the NFL on Thanksgiving, and it was a thing long before John Madden started doing color with Pat Summerall on NFL games. But John Madden made it something. Just, it was... One, whenever you heard him and Pat, you always knew it was a big game anyway. But whenever he was involved on Thanksgiving, it, even the bad games, Madden had a way of being able to, with his being such a character, had a way of making even the bad games enjoyable. And I thought it was really cool what the NFL did yesterday. Apparently that's going to be an annual thing that they will do, kind of honoring him each year on Thanksgiving with those games. And I like that. I thought that was really cool and very well done yesterday by all the networks that broadcast NFL games yesterday. I don't know how it is in your house, but in our house, we always have it on. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I paid full attention to every one of those games, but I did get a chance to watch at least a little bit of all of them yesterday. I thought the Buffalo-Detroit game, Buffalo wins 28-25, pretty entertaining game. The last several years, Detroit, you know, and look, we've had the conversation here before on Black Fridays about, you know, is it time to put somebody else on Thanksgiving other than Detroit? Because the Lions have just been so not competitive. But that game yesterday, that was a fun game to watch. Field goal, in the final couple of seconds for Buffalo to win it. Let's hear from Jared Goff. He's the Lions quarterback, says they feel like they can play with anybody in the league.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're a confident team, and Dan kind of mentioned it in there. You know, every week's going to be a reload, though. How do we reload and come back out and play good ball? And no matter who we're playing, this league's too good. It's top to bottom so good. But we do feel like we can compete with anybody and compete anybody. And, certainly we're behind the eight ball a little bit, but plenty of games left to make some noise.
You know, you go back early this week, they were writing playoff stories in Detroit and talking playoff scenarios to get that team into the playoffs. When we had on, when the Falcons played Detroit, we had Lomas Brown, who was an offensive lineman, left tackle for the Lions for a number of years. One of the nicest guys in the National Football League, Lomas Brown. And he was on with Harper and I on the pregame, and I talked to him earlier before we went on air, and Lomas was talking about how they love Dan Campbell. Like, inside that organization, everybody there is pulling for Dan Campbell because they like him so much. The guys in the locker room like him, the front office people, ownership, everybody that is around that team has really rallied around Dan Campbell. And that, you know, I go back to when he was first hired there as the head coach, and he's talking about biting people's kneecaps or whatever. That was a strange press conference with him. But look, he has made Detroit, I don't think there's any doubt they're better. Now, they couldn't beat Buffalo yesterday, but there's no doubt that the Lions are better, and hopefully they can continue that trend. I know, you know, talking to Lomas some weeks back, they were enthused about, you know, win or loss, the direction that they were headed and what Dan Campbell was able to do. Cowboys beat the Giants yesterday. Dallas completely shut down that Giant run game. Giants had just 90 yards on the ground, and then Minnesota beat New England last night 33-26. That is a look at what happened yesterday in the National Football League. We got to get to a little World Cup soccer. Jess Charman, who is one of the hosts of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, along with Jason Longshore. Jess is going to join us next. We'll talk big one today. U.S. Men's National Team, they face England. We'll get into it. We'll do it next. Chris Goforth with you on this Black Friday. Glad to be hanging with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth here on this Black Friday. In for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday. It's time to talk a little bit of World Cup soccer. Big one today, U.S. and England, as we head out on the Wade4.com hotline. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. We welcome in Jess Charman. Jess, part of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, along with Jason Longshore, and she's kind enough to give us a little bit of time here on this fine Friday morning prior to this match coming up later this afternoon. So it's the U.S. against England today. Jess, how big is this for U.S. soccer today?
I think it's huge for U.S. soccer. I think it's huge for English soccer. I think it's a really, really big match in this World Cup in terms of the rivalry, in terms of the tension, in terms of now knowing the expectation on both these teams. And I think today will be a really big moment in particular for U.S. soccer because it's going to be a marker of the growth of the game in this country, particularly looking ahead in 4 years' time when the World Cup will be here. This is a moment to show that you can stand up with one of the historically great soccer nations in England.
How good, and I know you and Jason have talked a lot about it. By the way, if you want to catch the show, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's after John Chuckery or after our, you know, Hawks broadcast every night of the World Cup. Now, if you're like me, you can't stay up that late. You can also get it on the Off the Woodwork podcast, which is available pretty much everywhere. So, and Jess, I know you and Jason have talked a lot about this already, but how good, in your opinion, is this group that the U.S. has put together for World Cup play?
Yeah, it's a tough one because all these teams, on the average, it was the highest ranked four teams in a group put together. There's a lot of tension between the sides. We've now seen Iran defeat Wales 2-0 in the last few moments of that game. That was a big, big result in terms of the U.S. knowing now that when it comes to the final game of the group stages, their destiny will probably be in their own hands if they're able to defeat Iran. That's going to change the way they approach this game against England. We know what England can do. Listen, they won 6-2. They played well. But I still think the U.S. can really get something out of this game. As much as it pains me to say, I think this could be much closer than pundits are saying. And Jason and I went on and on last night because we were feeling a little disrespected by the fact that England was so overwhelmingly the favorite in this game. I tell you, I'm a little nervous today.
What can we take from the U.S.'s first outing in World Cup play?
I thought they were brilliant against Wales for the first 45 minutes, one of the most impressive 45 minutes I've seen for the U.S. men's national team since I've started watching them. They may be young, but they were fearless. They were exciting. They took the game to Wales, and if they'd have been able to finish more opportunities, I think they would have put that game to bed. On the flip side, the concern for the U.S. right now is the change that they saw in the second 45. They weren't able to show the game management. They picked up a couple of yellow cards on key players. I wonder if that may affect their selection in today's game. But if they're able to string together a 90 minutes like they played in that first 45 minutes, they could really be a dangerous team in this World Cup.
Jess Charman's part of the Atlanta Soccer Tonight crew, her along with Jason Longshore. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So how healthy are these two sides coming into today?
Pretty healthy. The biggest concern for England was Harry Kane, who's obviously the star striker for England. He did pick up an ankle injury. Gareth Southgate, the head of England, is saying that he would be foolish not to put him in the lineup. Me personally, a little nervous about that, knowing that this game isn't necessarily as important as down the line. You don't want to pick up a big injury on one of your star players. For the U.S., pretty much everyone up for selection. Like I say, healthy, but it's to do with the game management. In the World Cup, it's just two yellow cards and you miss the next game. That could be really a concern for the U.S., knowing that that game on the third group game, is the most important. Do they risk the likes of Dest? Do they risk the likes of McKinney in this game? Or do they have some squad rotation? That squad rotation, again, would favor my country, so I wouldn't mind a little bit of a change in the U.S. lineup.
You find yourself a little torn today, Jess?
No. That's awful. I'm going to be honest with you. I love America. I love America on every day, apart from when they're playing England. And there's a lot riding on it. I've got a lot of friends communicating with me about little deals, little wagers that we may put on this one. And I think you need to listen out because Jason and I may be tweeting about a little wager depending on who picks up the victory because he's feeling quite confident about this U.S. side.
Tell me where, in your opinion, where does the U.S. have an advantage against England? Is there a matchup here that you look at and say, all right, this decidedly goes in favor of the U.S.?
I think that it comes with the speed that they have on the wings at times. They're able to attack against our slower players. Defensively, England looked a little rattled against Iran. They conceded two goals. The U.S. has a lot of firepower. They have a lot of quality. The likes of Christian Pulisic, who has played in England, he knows the game. He knows the style. He's a player that needs to have an incredible game for this U.S. side to become, as Jason put it last night, a household name for USA. I'm also excited to see how USA plays in this one. I think Iran was very tentative and nervous. I think the U.S., if they go out with the fearlessness that we know they can do, a bit of that youthfulness, a little bit of almost naivety to go into this one, not feeling like an underdog, that's where they'll be able to catch England. We know that England maybe is getting a little complacent, at least in the media, at least in the fan base. A lot of people are saying that this game is already written as a success for England. There's a lot of people predicting 3-0, 3-1, 4-0. And I think that complacency, or as I like to say, a little bit of hubris, the pride before the fall, could be something that U.S. is able to exploit against this England side.
Jess Charman, host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's get to some other stuff around the World Cup, Jess, while I've got you for a few more minutes. Brazil played yesterday. What did you see from Brazil?
they're just really, really good. They're a side that, again, I don't think anybody is looking to face. They're a very deep side this year. They've got a lot of talent on the bench, on the starting lineup. They're able to keep a clean sheet, a shutout, which is always good when defensively you're able to minimize the opposition. A little concern for Brazil, Neymar, the big name star, did have to come off with an ankle injury. A few concerns around that camp. Their coach tried to cool it down, saying, no, he'll be fine. He'll be able to play. But as you know, when teams lose a big star, it's not about just losing their impact on the pitch. It's losing their impact off of the pitch, in the locker room, around the stadium, around the atmosphere. So Brazil will be concerned if Neymar isn't able to get back into the lineup. But they're a very, very deep squad. I think they're the deepest squad in this World Cup, which is so important with it taking place in December, where a lot of players are missing from teams. Brazil is able to have reinforcements and quality. They were my first pick. I really think they may be able to lift the World Cup and fix 20 years of hurt. We shall see.
Yeah, you talk about them being the deepest team. I have said I think they're the most complete team. They were the pick, and I'm not the only one. Obviously, there's a lot of people that feel like they are the team to beat. But to me, they seem to be the most complete in this World Cup. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. Because a lot of these teams we've seen have either been very good in the offense or very good in the defense. They're not able to combine the two together. Brazil is the complete package in that they're a quality side defensively. They've got two of the best goalkeepers in the world that they have to pick between. Not many teams have that luxury. They've got quality in defense. They've got very good chemistry. Their midfield knows what they're doing. And then when it comes to firepower up top, they've got goals from everywhere. Jason and I argued, I think that Richarlison side volley, bicycle, overhead kick is my goal of the tournament, and it just showed the quality and the innovative thinking that players on this Brazil squad have.
Jess Charman, she along with Jason Longshore, they bring you Atlanta Soccer tonight, bringing down all the World Cup soccer each and every night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Has your thoughts on any team changed since World Cup play, either better or worse?
Jason, again, I hate to keep mentioning him, but he's going to be really upset at me because he's a big Argentina fan. I was very disappointed with how they played, obviously picking up that shock loss against Saudi Arabia. They've got a lot to prove now. They've got a huge game against Mexico. That's a really important game, not just on soccer, but in the nation of Argentina because of the pressure that they have. A team that really impressed me was Spain. Now, I thought they would be pretty good because they have individual quality. But what it seems like is happening with this Spanish side this year is the sum of the parts are equaling the product, right? A lot of the time you look at squads in the World Cup and they have amazing individual players, but they're not able to live up to that expectation because they don't gel cohesively enough. Spain looked incredible in their 7-0 walloping of Costa Rica. If they're able to continue that form, they could be a team that's making a deep, deep run that not as many people had coming into the World Cup.
Jess Charman finishing up with her. We know about the U.S. and England today. What else is happening in World Cup action that we need to pay attention to?
Well, obviously, that's the game that's finishing up today's action. Netherlands are playing Ecuador at 11 o'clock, so just coming up right now. That's going to be a really interesting game. The Netherlands were very disappointing. They're the favorite in that group. Ecuador, very, very, very exciting South American product. Plenty of youth. They managed to defeat the host nation 2-0 in that victory. They're going to come into this one fearless as well. I see quite a lot of parallels between Ecuador and the U.S. in terms of that fearlessness, in terms of that youthfulness and inexperience of the World Cup stage, but still being able to perform. That's going to be an exciting game. And then Jason and I are going to be at Wild Heaven today watching the England game, talking about all of that. England versus U.S. I'm heading there now. That is going to be interesting. The last time Jason and I watched a U.S. and an England game together, it was the Women's World Cup. The U.S. were victorious today. That was that game. That was horrific for me. So I'm hoping to get a little revenge and feel happy today.
Jess, great to visit with you. I think the last time I talked to you, you and I were freezing to death on a pitch in Chattanooga. So I'm in warmer conditions today. So I hope you are too. And look forward to hearing you and Jason coming up later.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Take care.
That's Jess Charman, the host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, along with Jason Longshore. And Jess, kind enough to give us a little bit of time this morning and kind of break down some of what's happening today. Again, U.S. men's national team taking on England. That is That's going to be huge. That's going to be huge today. And don't forget, Jess and Jason do a great job with Atlanta Soccer tonight. If you haven't caught it yet, if you want to stay up on what's happening with the World Cup, I suggest you download the Off the Woodwork podcast. It's that's how I follow along. It's a lot of times when Atlanta United plays late, if they're playing out on the West Coast somewhere and it's a late finish, I don't get a chance to watch all of it or be able to listen all of it. That's what I start my day with the next morning is the Off the Woodwork podcast, because you get all of our both Atlanta United, World Cup coverage, everything is on that podcast. So if you don't, go subscribe. We'll talk a little more college football. We'll talk about some of these coaching jobs that are opening, give you an idea on maybe who the next guy could be at Georgia Tech, and we'll touch on the big games in college football today as we kick off our 11 o'clock hour. Chris Goforth with you here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.